Good afternoon to everybody here. How's everybody doing? Good. Now, you wouldn't believe that's Brad's first time doing a split, but he did an excellent job, so very proud of him. Now, I haven't been down here in quite a bit of time, and what has been going on up in Chattanooga, I'll tell you what's been going on. I'm wrapping up today a three-part message series on forgiveness. So that's been the message series I've been working on. And the part one, I'm going to give you guys a high-level or surface-level recap on some of the parts that I've done. And some of these parts, if you are interested in, you can find them by emailing Alan Davis, and if you feel like you want to listen to them. So the first part I covered was about forgiving others. Now that's very important, especially this time of year, about forgiving others. The scriptures talk about forgiving others so God will forgive you. That's what the scripture says. It also talks about praying for your enemies. Pray for those who hurt you. Pray for those who use you spitefully. And there's a saying I learned and I heard from a minister one time, and he said this: praying for those who hurt you might not change them. Let me repeat that. Praying for those people who have hurt you, who have wronged you at some point in your life, might not change them, but it will change you. You see what I'm saying? Because there's a freedom that comes when you let go of that hurt and say, hey, I forgive you, brother. I forgive you, sister. I talked about bitterness and how bitterness can be a very, very serious issue if we don't take care of it. Bitterness is terrible because love keeps no record of wrong. Like our Heavenly Father, He is love. But bitterness keeps detailed records. That's so true. So that was part one. That's a high-level recap on that. Part two that I covered was about asking for forgiveness. You know, we want to forgive others, but let's be honest, sometimes in our lives, we may have wronged other people. I know I have. And there's a difference between peacemakers and peacekeepers. Peacekeepers, they want to maintain the peace, but peacemakers, they wanted to directly get to the root of the problem. We need more peacemakers. The greatest enemy to peacemaking in our time and today is pride. Pride is the biggest enemy to peacemaking. And the biggest friend to peacemaking is humility, which is so exemplified by the life of Christ. He was the best peacemaker that ever lived. That's why He gave His life for us. That's why He did that. And He asked for forgiveness for us on the cross. Father, forgive them for they do not know what they do. He did that. That's a humble servant. That's Jesus Christ. And today, I'm going to talk about what I think is going to be the capstone and kind of the final part of this message series, and that is forgiving yourself. Forgiving me. And I believe there's a huge amount of freedom when it comes to forgiving yourself. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible, and I'll turn there real quick. You don't have to turn there right now, but I'm just kind of setting the main scripture that I want to talk about today before I dive in. And that's in 2 Corinthians, and you can jot this down because we'll come back to it later. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. The past is the past. And behold, all things have become new. What have we done in our lives? What have you done? What have I done? You know, there are things that can happen in our lives. We can get caught up in addictions. We see that all over the internet these days, addictions that people are caught up in. Could be alcohol, could be prescription drugs, could be the online sex industry that we see these days. It could be shopping. People use shopping as a form of addiction these days. Maybe we cheated. Either we cheated on taxes, cheated on other things in our lives. hurt someone. I know in my life, I've definitely hurt people that I care about the most. Have we hurt people? Perhaps we weren't fair. We weren't fair in some dealings with other people. Mistreated someone. I know I have, especially in high school, college, I've mistreated people. Mistreated my parents in a way sometimes. Didn't set the right example. Didn't set the right example. Perhaps we're sitting here today, and sometimes I think of my life in this sense, but perhaps we're sitting here and we're thinking, where's the time gone? Why haven't I done more with the years that I've had? You know? 28 years. What's going on? And we've all sinned. This is the fact. We've all sinned. We've all done that. We've committed sin against our God. And what the best part is, you know, perhaps we have sought reconciliation. We've sought forgiveness. All right? The people that perhaps we did something to. I know I've done things against my parents. What do I do? Hey, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. You seek forgiveness. And then you go and you seek forgiveness from God. God, I have committed sin against you. I have hurt one of your children. I am sorry. You do that. But sometimes what happens is we stop right there. We stop right there. And we haven't quite gotten to forgiving ourselves. Oftentimes, I find that it's easy, depending on the situation, to do the first two. Going to a person and asking for forgiveness, and then going to God and asking for forgiveness, depending on the situation. Now, sometimes there are some things that perhaps I've done, we've done, that maybe going to the other person might be a real challenging thing to do. Sure is. And going to God, perhaps we may not want to. But what I feel like sometimes the biggest struggle is after we do those two things, is dealing with the guilt. Dealing with the guilt. Dealing with that struggle of forgiving yourself. Letting go of what we've done and letting the past being the past. The thing about our brains is that we have a memory bank. And it's so easy to start recollecting the things we've done. I know I do this. Oh, wish I could have been a little better. Oh, I wish I would have not said that. Oh, I wish I would have not went there. I wish I would have. Oh, man, it's a memory. It comes to us. The guilt. You know, I'll be a little transparent up here. I had a little interesting year in college many years ago. You know, I'm not going to give out too intimate details. But I'll be honest with myself. You know, I let people down. I sure did. I let some people down, such as my parents. They mean a lot to me. Second of all, I let myself down. You know, we have our expectations of ourselves. Growing up in the church, didn't think I'd go down this route. I really let myself down. And most importantly, we let God down. Or I did. I'm talking about my experience. I definitely let God down in a real way. Because, mainly it's because I knew better. I didn't know better. But things have happened. And where I was at in my life is that I couldn't feel sorry enough for what I did. I couldn't feel bad enough. I was hurt. And I just didn't feel good enough. Who am I? That's the thoughts that come to the questions. Questions start coming to your mind. Who am I? Look at what I've done. Who am I? These questions are coming to my mind. You know, sometimes during that stage and that season of my life that I was in, I felt like a hypocrite. And if I'm really honest with myself today, I felt like a hypocrite. You know, who am I? This 6 days a week, I'm perhaps living this way, and then come Saturday, I'm somebody else. What's going on there? Whew. I'm glad those days are in the past. Things that I used to do, my talents, the things I was doing in church, assisting people, helping people, that started to suffer. Because I felt guilt. I felt like a hypocrite. well, who am I to help people? I need help myself. So my servant attitude, the things I used to do at church started to suffer. I felt, I'll be really honest here, I felt held back and I felt shackled by my guilt of the things that I did. Now, before you start wondering as far as what I did, it's nothing too crazy, but it's things that I shouldn't have done. You know, there's a lot of things we all shouldn't have done, but it's not like I'm doing any, I didn't kill anybody. You know, I'm not that extreme. Question I have for you guys today, and I have a question. These are the questions I ask myself, especially developing this message, because I think forgiveness is a huge thing I need to work on, is what has guilt and not forgiving yourself held you back from doing? What has guilt and not forgiving yourself held you back from doing? Maybe you thought, I'd like to help that person. You see a friend, you see a child, you see a brother, you see a sister. I'm going to go reach out to that person. But, unfortunately, they're struggling with the same things you struggled in, and they may be aware of what you've done, and you think to yourself, I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, I don't feel like I want to talk to that same person. He or she knows that I struggle with this, so they're going to be like, who are you to say something about this? Maybe you felt like you need to go be a leader. This world, this church needs more leaders. Not leaders to stand up and lord over people. I'm just examples. Leaders who will take the cross and bear it and walk. Maybe you thought, I want to be a leader, but you didn't feel good enough. Oh, my past. If they only knew my past. Whew. I'm not a good leader. Maybe you wanted to teach somebody. Maybe you wanted to mentor somebody and help them in their lives. In that capacity, but you felt so unworthy. I'm unworthy to do this because of my past. You want a better relationship with people. You want to fix relationships, but you can't get past what you've done. You feel like you don't deserve it. These are things I asked myself. Oh, man, this is things I went through. You want to step into what God has for you to do, but you cannot step out of what you've done. You want to step into what God has planned for you, but sometimes we might struggle stepping out of what we've done. And far too often, that's where a lot of people have found themselves. And I'll be the first to admit, that's where I found myself. Not wanting to do what God wants me to do because I can't get past what I did. You know, we look in the Bible has tremendous examples of men of character, men of God, who did things and they were able to change. Now we look at the Apostle Paul. Who was he before he was the Apostle Paul? He was Saul of Tarsus. He persecuted the church really bad. He did all that. And in 1 Corinthians 15:9, Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians, he says here, "For I, Paul, who was Saul, am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Here's Paul, an apostle, still kind of struggling with what he did. I am the least because I persecuted the church. There is a guilt. He was still battling. But look at what he did. Tremendous work. Tremendous things. Even though his past would tell otherwise. You look at David. Whoo, didn't he do some things? Psalms 38. Here's a little excerpt of David's frustration with himself. Psalm 38. And I'm going to read verse 4. Actually, I'm going to read that from the NLT. I apologize. Psalm 38. Verse This is a quick saying, quick couple of words here from David. He said here, "My guilt overwhelms me. My guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear." We're all aware of what he did. Committed adultery with Bathsheba, had Uriah killed. There was a guilt too heavy for him to bear. But we all know Psalms 51, he repented and he changed and he went on to be a great king. We look at Samson in the Bible. We look at Samson, a man, a strong man of so much strength and so much God-given talent and potential. And he fell over himself, over and over and over. He continued to fall until he wound up in prison, in chains to the Philistines, the people he was sent to take Israel out from. He had guilt. He struggled with that. But with his last breath, he gave his life back to God and was able to take down the Philistines. Moses, it's my last example here. Look at Moses. While he was in Egypt, why, he killed somebody. He sure did. He threw that palace guard down. And then he went into into the foreign lands. I'm sure he didn't feel worthy enough when God approached him with the responsibility and the what God had in store for Moses to do to take Israel out of Egypt. I can't do it. I can't. You need to find somebody else. But God chose Moses. God chose Moses. You see, these guys realized something. And this is the first main point that I'd like to get to today. There's a couple main points. If you don't write down anything else, just keep in mind these things. First main point today is that every Christian has a past. Every Christian has a past, but every sinner has a future. Every Christian has a past. Every sinner has a future. Look at these guys, and let's start looking at ourselves. These guys, men of God in the Bible, they're Christians, but they had a past. At times of their life, they were sinners, but they knew they had a future. Do we believe that today? Do we sit here today and we realize, yes, I'm a Christian, I do have a past. That past is not to hold me back from the future God has in plan for me today. The future of the kingdom of God. Do we believe that? Do I believe that? You know, there's two types of guilt in this world, I think. Now, this is just what I think. It's not anything doctrinal, but I feel like there's two types of guilt, and I'm not talking about guilt when you finish a bag of Doritos on your own, or guilt when you open a bag of Oreos and it's all gone, you know, because Oreos are very addicting, let's be honest. You can go through a whole, maybe I just can't, maybe that's just me. I'm not talking about guilt of, you know, of eating too much. I'm talking about, there's two types of guilt. There's a guilt that leads to stagnation. There's a guilt that's crippling. Okay? It cripples you from doing things. And then there's a guilt that leads to change. There's a guilt. There's a remorse behind what we've done or what I've done that leads to change. Two types of guilt. One's more useful. The guilt that leads to change, the remorse behind, because I feel like we do need to feel a little remorseful for what we've done, a little guilty. I know that I think I've done things in my life, and I look back, and I hadn't addressed it, but I start to assess the situation, and I start feeling guilty. Oh, man, I did something bad. I need to go fix this. It's guilt. But then other times in my life, I did something, and I felt guilty, and I couldn't do anything. I was stuck. I was stagnant. I was crippled. But the Bible offers so many truths to who you and I are today. Okay? The Bible offers so many different scriptures, and I'm going to highlight maybe four or five of them right now. I'm going to read through it, and I'm going to give you the scriptures that you can note down for the note takers, and you can revisit this sometime in the coming weeks as we come into Passover to understand who we are. It says, and you don't have to turn to all these scriptures. I'll give them later. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. For His unfailing love toward those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Their sins, hear God here, their sins and their lawless deeds, I, God, will not remember no more. The verses I just read, 1 John 1:9 for note takers. Romans 3:23. Psalm 103:11 and Hebrews 10:16. 1 John 1:9, Romans 3:23, Psalm 103:11 and Hebrews 10:16. And the question I have on that section of scripture is this. Do you feel like that's just a good idea? You see what I'm saying? What do I mean by that? Do you actually believe any of that? When God says, you are new. When God says, I will not remember what you did. You are righteous in front of me today. Is that just an idea? Or do you truly believe what God says? And what God says, you are righteous, clean, new, a new creation. My other main point today, main point number two, this message is this. I want you to hear me out on this. Because this just dawned on me, and I had a hard time kind of grasping this concept. If we today, if I cannot forgive ourselves, if we cannot forgive ourselves, we can't get past the guilt. We are basically saying, or I am basically saying, that the sacrifice of Christ is not good enough. Let me repeat that. If today we cannot forgive ourselves and we cannot let go of the guilt of what we did, we are basically saying that the sacrifice of Christ, all that He went through, like Brad elaborated on, all that He went through is just not good enough. Now ask yourself this. Consider this. Is there any merit to that? Is there any merit to that saying? Christ came to earth to forgive us. To die on the cross so that all the penalty of what we did, past, present, future sins, nailed to the cross, that we might have eternal life. Did all that so that we can have a future. He didn't do all that for us to stay in the past and to dwell in the past. Consider that. Just like I try to consider that. The sacrifice of Christ. For, you know, in John 3:16, we're so familiar with this scripture, John 3:16. Christ says here, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." God did not send His Son into this world so that we can condemn ourselves. See what I'm saying? He sent His Son, and His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, did what He did so that we could have everlasting life and that we could be saved. Saved from our past. Saved from that guilt. There's a healthy guilt, feeling remorseful. Shouldn't have done that. Then there's a guilt that's crippling. Reminded of a story I once read on the internet a couple months ago. And I'll give it a little real surface level story on that. I'll share that with you. There's this man. He was observing another man, maybe in a dream or maybe whatever. In a dream, he's observing a man. This man's in a pit. This man's in a pit, and there's a bunch of filth and putrid slime and everything all in the bottom of the pit. And he has a collar on him. A collar, a shackle, and a chain running from it, a metal link chain. And there's somebody else down there. Somebody else down there holding that chain. And as this man's observing this man who's shackled, chained, he sees this man get up and he sees this man try to climb out of the pit. But then the man who's holding the chain, whoever that person is, pulls on the chain, and that man comes tumbling back down into the slime, into the filth, into that putrid bottom. You see, sometimes guilt can be like that. Sometimes there's guilt that's shackling all of us, shackling me. And we sit here and we're shackled in this guilt, and guilt pulls us back down into where we were. You see what I'm saying? And the important thing is this. Christ didn't die so we could be pulled back in. He died so that we can remove the collar, throw our past behind us, change, and climb out of the pit. He didn't do all this for you and me today so that we could stay where we were. He did this so we can climb out. By His power and by the strength of God, we can. And sometimes and oftentimes, you got to remember this. This is where it gets kind of real. Sometimes it's not just guilt that's holding that chain that we're shackled to at times that we need to remove. Sometimes a person that might be holding that chain inadvertently, maybe somebody we know. Maybe somebody we know. And what do I mean by that? It's sometimes the people closest to you, the people that you know really well, the people that knows everything about you, that sometimes they'll remind you. Do you see what I'm saying? They'll sometimes, and they're probably not doing it maliciously, but because everybody has their own problems they got to deal with. Maybe they haven't quite forgiven you. Maybe they haven't quite forgiven me. And during a heated argument or during a time, a season of the life, it comes back up. Something that you did in the past that you've earnestly asked for forgiveness for. And guess what happens? That person, probably not maliciously, okay, but because everybody is not perfect, reminds you of your past and who you were. It happens. Probably that person you care about doesn't want to hurt you. But they're dealing with things. They're still dealing with the hurt. And it bothers them. And they unfortunately do that. But here's the deal. I'm not saying you do this, but keep this in your mind. You look that person in the eye. You look that person in the eye and you say, yeah, I may have hurt you in my life. I may have hurt you. I may have done some things. I agree. Sure, I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. And I am not who you say I am. I am not who you say I am. I am what God says I am. I am what God says I am. Here's the deal. He says you are forgiven. You are righteous, you are clean, and you are redeemed through the blood of Christ. That's what God tells you who you are. Do you believe any of that? Do I believe any of that? Like I said earlier, every Christian has a past. But every sinner has a future. And the past can be used for good things. I'm not sitting here and saying your past is the, you need to hide that past and never revisit the past. There are some things that I went through that I've overcome. There are still things I'm trying to overcome. But things that I've done that perhaps somebody's struggling with that I can say, hey, brother, sister, look, I went through that. There's a time in my life when I struggled with what you're struggling with. Here's what I did. Hopefully it's useful to you. Sometimes your past can be your greatest testimony if used in the right way. Your past can be your greatest testimony in life of what you've been through and what you've done through the power of God and Christ through you. So we start to close here. We are approaching a wonderful time of the year, the spring holiday season, starting with the Passover, remembrance of what Christ did and what he conquered, which is the grave, and what he went through for us. We talked about in these message series that I did about how bad we need to forgive people. How bad we need to do that because God forgives us. How humble we need to be and ask for forgiveness from the people we wronged, sometimes the people closest to you. And we just hit about the need to forgive yourselves, forgive myself, and to forgive and to forget that guilt that holds us back. I asked this earlier. What has guilt been holding you back from doing in your life? What has not forgiving yourself held you back from doing? Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to get over the guilt and start reaching out to some people and helping them where they're at. And not worrying about what you've done, but focusing on what you can do through God. Maybe it's time to step up and be a leader. And not feel, oh, I'm so unworthy to be a leader. But understand that God works through anybody. God works through anybody. He works through Paul, who persecuted the church. He worked through him. He can work through you. Maybe it's time to fix a relationship. Do something about that and not feel that you don't deserve it. Maybe it's time to cross that bridge and to reach out to someone you really care about and fix a situation, like I was saying. Maybe you have an idea in your mind. You feel like you're called to do something. I don't know what it is. We are all called to do something of God. We are God's servants. Maybe you feel like you have something you want to accomplish. Maybe it's time to do it and not let guilt hold you back any longer. Because Christ's sacrifice is more than enough for you and me today. My final point today is this. Your biggest sins, my biggest sins, are not too big for God's grace. My biggest sins, your biggest sins, are not too big for God's grace. You can be forgiven. You can be made new. You are new. In closing, if you'll turn to me to Philippians 3:12. We're going to be letting you out a little early today, so tell Mr. Cowan how nice Brad and I have been. That gives time for us to talk later. Philippians 3. Starting in verse 12. And here Paul writes to the church in Philippi, and he says this. Not that I have already attained what he was talking about to the church, or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And 13 is the most important scripture. Paul says this, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Forgetting those things which are behind. You are not, and I am not, my past. You are not your past. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. The kingdom of God is what is ahead of us. The kingdom of God. So what do you want to do, brethren? It's time to stop saying and stop being shackled by guilt and by the past, by the former things, and start understanding that it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter who we are. We are imperfect people. What matters is who our God is. And He's a great and powerful God. And Christ was sent for us.